He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson hour here. We've got a sloppy start again, third day in a row. Now, 3 days does not a new trend make, but obviously it's time to sit up and take notice. I've been warning about the valuation issues that the market has. So we'll carry on a little bit about that whole thing and the technical analysis right now of the markets in a little bit. Right now you've got the Dow down 278. That's 0.9%. 31,332. A lot of that is Walmart, which came up a bit short today. The NASDAQ, though, does not contain Walmart, does it? And it's down 185 in sympathy with the Dow. The NASDAQ is down 1.3%, 13,778. One could say it's struggling with 14,000. I would definitely say it's struggling with 14,000. Maybe the NASDAQ has finally met its match, 14,000. Maybe that is now the new resistance level. And a weak jobless claims report is not helping the markets either today. S&P down 36. That's down 0.9%. 3895. S&P seems to be struggling with about 3950 right now. Russell 2000 down 17 to 2238. Crude oil up 13 cents. There you go. There's a shortage all of a sudden as the refineries in Texas are shut down. Gold is down 30 cents, getting no traction whatsoever, 1772. Silver down 19 cents, 2712. The 10-year, interest rates up a bit, 1.31% today. And that all-important Bitcoin bid. Right now, Bitcoin selling, it's up $871 per coin, $52,079. So welcome to Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. We are off to another soggy start to the market here today. This will be the third day in a row. We haven't seen three down days in a row. We've gotten pretty spoiled here in the markets. 3 days does not a new trend make, but it definitely is a time to be vigilant, let's call it, right now. Because we are seeing some technical resistance come in here. Maybe the NASDAQ has finally met its match for now at 14,000, right around that level. That could become the new resistance level, the ceiling, where it bumps its head up there at 14,000. The S&P maybe has found resistance around 39.50, and the Dow maybe has found resistance pretty close to 32,000, actually, here recently on the Dow. Bitcoin still sees no resistance. It's off to the races. It's now at 51,987, and interest rates are not running into resistance yet either. They continue to rise. We're at 1.31% there. Okay, so what's got the market so grumpy here today? Well, we'll call Walmart a big factor. Walmart, a big part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, reporting earnings today. They came up a little bit short. Let's see how that individual stock is doing and what influence it's having on the Dow today. That's a pretty ugly chart there on Walmart. Walmart is down 5.7% today. So that's a big chunk of that Dow drop. The Dow's down 0.8%, but Walmart alone is down 5.7%. I'm not sure how many points that accounts for in that Dow drop, but pretty good percentage of that. Also, weak jobless claims numbers. Once again, 861,000. versus 768,000 consensus. And that number was starting to improve a little bit there, and now it's starting to go the other way. Jobless claims 861,000. Those reports obviously come in every Thursday. Global shares overnight. China was up 0.5%. It's reopened after Chinese New Year. Hong Kong down 1.6%. And Europe down just a little bit here overnight. The big GameStop hearings. I actually would like to hear that. That would be interesting. I don't know if anybody's going to cover it. Maybe C-SPAN. I'm not seeing it on Fox Business. I'm not seeing it on CNBC. I have not checked Bloomberg yet. But of course, you'll have the CEO of Robinhood, Vlad Tenev. He will be testifying. You'll have Melvin Capital's Gabe Plotkin. Be interesting to hear their take. They had a big short position in that stock. And you'll have Reddit Steve Huffman being testifying. And Citadel, another hedge fund that had a big short position in the stock, Kenneth Griffin. And also a broker, a guy in the financial services industry, Keith Gill, who was posing behind a pseudonym on Twitter as an individual investor looking out for the little guy, not letting people know he was actually had a long time position in the industry as a professional. So they're all set to testify before the U.S. House Financial Services Committee at 12 p.m. Well, no wonder I'm not finding it on TV. I got to believe someone will cover it. So get ready. Get the popcorn ready. 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The big GameStop hearings. I wonder if they'll make a video game over this. Robin Hood 3 or something like that. They'll be talking about short selling, online trading platforms, gamification of the stock market. So could be very, very interesting. Let's see. What else do we have? We've got, well, and of course, you've got Elizabeth Warren there. I believe AOC will be there. And, of course, they'll be talking about the Wall Street casino and tightening regulations on Wall Street. In the meantime, the New York Stock Exchange president rejects the stock market casino comparison. New York Stock Exchange officials have not been asked to testify at the upcoming House hearing, even though GameStop, AMC, and several other meme stocks trade on the exchange. Well, obviously, if they have a three-letter symbol, they trade over on the New York. The NASDAQ has four letters, although I think there's some exceptions. But for the most part, that's the general rule. New York Stock Exchange President Stacey Cunningham still has plenty to discuss on the subject, especially after Senator Elizabeth Warren, a longtime critic of Wall Street, told the SEC that investors big and small are treating the stock market like a casino. And the recent GameStop chaos revealed the clear distortion in the securities market. Well, she replies, the markets are not a casino. They are highly regulated and they're highly overseen. Cunningham said, we are running a market that provides opportunities for investors to come in and invest in the companies they believe in or don't believe in, and they believe that are going to grow and then share in that wealth creation. That's what made this country so great. Is that a dreamer, an entrepreneur with an idea that can start a business and grow it by getting others to invest and share in their success? That's what Cunningham is saying. Stacey Cunningham, president of the New York Stock Exchange. Okay, let's see. Pfizer vaccine news. That South African variant, that's a bit of a problem. Pfizer says that the South African COVID variant may significantly cut vaccine protection. In other words, it can sneak through that vaccine protection pretty easily. So that's one of the worries, obviously, with the COVID, that it continues to morph into all these variants, and the vaccines can't keep up. So far, however, that South African variant, which is starting to show up in the U.S. in small numbers, not being handled by the most popular vaccine, I guess you could say, the Pfizer vaccine. Okay, when we come back, we got a lot of stocks in the news here today. 5G, always electric vehicle news. We've got, we're going to take a look inside of Walmart. Is it a good buy with this sell-off here? How about the banks? What about the shipping stocks right now? A lot of action taking place in the market today. We'll have the playbook here and the scorebook in a bit. This is the Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. Go. Welcome back here to the Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. Well, you know, at the end of the day, it's probably the best just to let markets work themselves out. You know, I mean, you go clear back to the Holland tulip bulb bubble way back, what, was 1700 or something like that? You can't really prevent bubbles from happening. Bubbles happen all the time in different asset classes, in different areas, commodities, supply and demand comes into play. Maybe we need to do a better job of teaching kids in school a little bit about valuations. You know, transactions take place every single day, all across the world, not just public transactions of public stocks, but private transactions. Private transactions happen in the supermarket every day when we go to the supermarket. Companies, private companies are being sold and bought on a daily basis, and that's what a market is all about. My industry, for instance, the RIA industry, there's multiples that are pretty common in this industry. And you can take any industry. If you're going to buy a dry cleaners, if you're going to buy a bakery, if you're going to buy a donut shop, there's rational multiples that you're going to pay. Generally speaking, you determine your return on investment. If you're going to invest $500,000 in a dry cleaners, you want to know what kind of a return you're going to get on your investment. You're not going to pay $3 million for a dry cleaners that gives you a negative return on investment. It's really simple math for the most part. But once you get into the public markets, you get a little bit more froth involved there because they trade so easily. You know, it's a private transaction. There's a lot of due diligence that's done and looking at comparables, same with the real estate market. But did that prevent the real estate bubble of 08 and 09? That's when you had money being almost freely given out in the way of loans, people taking that money, which they got pretty easily, so they don't take that money as seriously as they normally would, and paying ridiculous prices for homes that hadn't even been built yet. And then as soon as they were built, turning around and selling them to the next guy for an even higher price, who also got an easy money loan. So there's all kinds of ways that bubbles are formed. I've lived through many bubbles in the markets. I saw the huge bubble in the dot-com and the IPO stocks back in the year 2000. That took a couple years to unwind. I mean, that's the deal. Eventually, they do unwind. There is nothing that continues to go and go and go and go. Eventually, valuation comes into play, And it's like a crowded theater with one door out. As soon as the first person leaves and they realize that GameStop is not worth $483 per share. Now, see, if you just had any kind of general knowledge, you don't have to have an MBA from Harvard to know a little bit about valuations, okay? I mean, if you've ever bought a used car, or if you've ever sold a car, or you look at comparables, you look at other cars that are like yours, the same model, the same year, maybe yours has a little better stereo than the other one, but for the most part, valuation is valuation. And when you get way outside of the norm of valuation, I don't see anything wrong with somebody saying, well, GameStop's worth about $15 per share. And I see nothing wrong if somebody wants to buy that stock short and hoping to make money on it. And I see nothing wrong with somebody buying the stock at $400 per share. You know, that's how free markets work. So what will come from this, I don't know. But I got to believe that there will be some kind of regulation taking place to try to prevent. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you prevent bubbles from forming. But it'll be interesting theater to watch and see what comes from it. I think at the end of the day, the markets have been around for a long time. They seem to work pretty well. Think of all of the innovation. I just look at these companies that are coming public these days and that have come public since I've been in the industry, and the innovation. Look how our lives have changed. You know, I've got all of these monitors on my desk. I'm, you know, high-speed internet, fiber optics, apps, you name it. My whole record collection on my iPhone, etc. So, you know what? Markets encourage innovation, creation, creativity, and it's also risk. There's risk involved. And there always be. There's no way that you can get rid of that risk and ensure that you'll never lose money on an investment. That's just not going to happen. So we'll see where it all goes. Okay, as far as individual stocks in the news today go, you know, we keep watching Nokia and 5G, and they're supposed to be a big player, and they're supposed to pick up where Huawei left off. Where's that gone? Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. The stock is stuck at $3 to $4, but this is one that the gamers picked up about 4 or 5 weeks ago. They tripled the stock in a couple of days, and now it's back to where it's reasonably valued. It came back to valuation. Nokia is currently trading at $4 per share, even though they continue to get 5G contracts. You have to look at the bottom line. The valuation measures that I look at, if you look at my app, okay, beststocksnowapp.com, and I type in Nokia, the first valuation measure we see is price to earnings. Right now, Nokia is trading at 28 times price to earnings. It's a telecom equipment company. It's a telecom infrastructure company. You have to look at others that are in that industry, comparables. A P.E. ratio of 28 is pretty rich on this stock. Yet, the gamers came in, tripled the value of the stock overnight, a couple days, driving the P.E. ratio up to 70-80 area where it had no business of being, and now it's come back to still probably a high multiple at 28 times earnings. The second valuation measure I look at is price to sales. Nokia's got a pretty low price to sales ratio right now. It's under 1. However, you have to look at comparables like Ericsson, maybe AT&T, Qualcomm, etc., to see where they're trading at. You know, I see that Tilray has reported earnings here today. It doesn't have any earnings. So what we have to do, when we come back, let's compare Tilray's price to sales to maybe a tobacco company. Wouldn't that be a good comparable? And let's try to see if Tilray is worth what it's trading at right now. Knowing valuation Just the basics is critical. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to Best Stocks Now. The Dow down 300 right now. NASDAQ down 225. I think I'll just go back to bed after this. We got a lot of work to do here today. I'm going to use an example here of just a basic understanding of valuation. Basic, just basic. It's just mostly common sense. Would help solve a lot of these problems that occur and create these bubbles. Let's take Tilray. Tilray went public back. That was one of the most extreme valuation bubble issues I ever saw in the market, and it happened so quickly it would make your head spin. Tilray came public during the cannabis craze. Canada had just legalized nationally, marijuana. Tilray is headquartered in British Columbia. Tilray came public at $17 per share. All right. Now, that should tell you something. You've got all of these Wall Street analysts. You've got the shareholders of the company all getting together, looking at the books, due diligence like you can't believe. And they determine a price that they think the company is worth, and they take it public. And the price that they came up with at that time was about $17 per share. And that's probably generous. Keep in mind that the Wall Street firm that's taking them public, they wanted to go public at as high a price they think they can get within reason, because they'll earn more commissions, right? On the higher the price it goes, the higher price they bring it public at, the more they make. And, of course, the sellers of the company, or the people that are selling a part of the company, they want a high price too. So it went public at a very optimistic price of $17 per share. 2 weeks later, it was, well, let's give it maybe 2 months later, it was $300 per share. So you've got the Wall Street analyst, you've got the owners of the company deciding that taking it public at around $17 was the right price, and all of a sudden the traders, the gamers, get involved and run it up to $300 per share. Now, are you going to prevent them from doing that? Are you going to cap it? Well, you can't buy it over 100. I mean, what would you do to prevent a stock that goes public at 17 from going to $300 per share? What regulations would you put in place to prevent a person from buying the stock? There were obviously people buying it at $100 per share, $150 per share, $200 per share, and even $300 per share. And what regulations should there be to prevent somebody from saying, this thing's not worth $150. I'm going to short this stock at $150. Well, that person's taking risk too, because it went to $300 after it hit $150. But eventually, it started to settle and move towards valuation. From $300 per share, Tilray finally bottomed out at about $3 per share, from 300 down to 3. Okay, now what is it worth? What is the stock worth? Well, I would look to some comparables. Number one, I can't think of one of the cannabis stocks that just grow cannabis or sell cannabis or whatever that's been profitable. They all seem to lose money. Tilray has never made a penny. They've never been profitable. They're expected to lose 42 cents this year. They're expected to lose 14 cents next year. So we cannot do an earnings-based valuation, can we? Book value valuations generally are reserved for the financial industry, banks, book value. How much do they have in equity? How much do they have in liabilities? What's their book value per share? I would say that the right way to value Tilray would be price to sales. What do they have in sales? Well, they have about $200 million a year in sales. Okay, that's pretty good. I think they're probably the number one. Let's see, how much does Canopy have? I think Tilray is probably the largest company as far as sales. No, actually, they're about tied. Canopy and Tilray. Canopy's got $500 million a year in sales. Okay, so what would be a comparable? I would think a tobacco stock would be a comparable. Very similar type of product, I guess you could say. Only the tobacco stocks make a lot of money. The cannabis stocks don't. And I see that, let's take Philip Morris, for instance. It's trading at three times sales. Okay, well, let's be generous. Let's say that Canopy, let's say that Tilray, are growing faster. Their stocks, their earnings, their sales are growing faster than Philip Morris. Let's use 5x sales. Let's be really generous here on Tilray. Well, that puts Tilray's valuation, if you do 5x sales, that puts Tilray at $15 per share. And it's currently trading at $32 per share. It's way overpriced. Now, that's just a basic valuation measure. Furthermore, when they ran GameStop way up, they also ran Tilray way up. They ran Tilray up to $65 per share just about 6 or 7 days ago. Okay, just a basic price-to-sales valuation using a little bit of logic, looking at a comparable company that's been around for a long, long time. I come up with the down-and-dirty valuation of $15 per share. Well, someone was buying it at $60 per share. I can't prevent somebody from buying it at $60 per share, nor should I keep somebody from saying, wow, I'm going to short this stock at $60 per share, because eventually it's going to come down to its valuation, which is what it's done. From that $60 per share, it's come down to $32. It's still too expensive. In fact, I just saw, I think a little while ago, an analyst come out with a $15 valuation on the stock. That's what I come up with. It's currently at $32 per share. It was $15 per share about 2 or 3 months ago, closer to where it belongs. So, you know, you can use Bollinger Bands, and you can use trajectories of the chart. You could use moving averages. You can use all kinds of how far outside of the mean is it, how far below the mean. I like numbers. I like sales. I like earnings. I like cash flow. And book value would be number four. That's what gives the stock value. And I heard Mark Cuban arguing this point the other day. He takes a little different tack than I do. I'm a guy that likes something tangible that I can place a value on. That's why Bitcoin is so difficult. How do you value the thing? That's why it's so volatile. It's all over the place. Some people think it's worth $600,000. Some people think it's worth, people think it's worth nothing. And yet it's at $52,000. But how do you price Bitcoin? That's a difficult one. Tilray, on the other hand, has sales. They have assets. They have a cash flow. They don't have any earnings, but we can put a valuation on those things that are tangible. And once again, I come up with the $15 valuation. Now, that helps me to know I have no interest in it here at $32 per share. And yet there's people buying it today at $32 per share. nor would I short this stock at $32 per share, because you've got a little extra factor in Tilray, the cannabis stocks. They come in swarms and buy these stocks some days and run them way up, and then eventually they start falling back towards value. They're very popular stocks. But eventually, when all the popularity wears off, valuation reigns. And that's just, you know, a quick down and dirty valuation lesson that shouldn't be that hard to teach in the 9th grade, the 6th grade, the 12th grade, the 11th grade, the 10th grade, maybe even at the colleges. I don't know. Are they teaching just basic valuations? It doesn't seem like it. Anyways, when we come back, let's find something that makes sense from a valuation proposition. This is Bill Gunderson. This is Best Stocks Now. Welcome back here to the final segment of Best Stocks Now. Dow down 220, so it's improved a little, huh? NASDAQ down 191. All right, two stocks I'm going to talk about in this final segment. The first one is Walmart. Because it's such a big, large, well-known company, it is owned by just about everybody that has a large cap mutual fund or a large cap index fund. The big wirehouse brokerages love to own Walmart. I don't own Walmart, and here's why. If we do a valuation on Walmart, we can definitely do an earnings valuation on Walmart. Walmart is profitable. They have a very thin profit margin, however. A discounter like Walmart trades or sells their products at a very thin profit margin. Nothing like some of these tech companies that have unheard-of profit margins, okay? Walmart's got a single-digit profit margin, whereas some of these tech companies have 30, 40% profit margins. Therefore, they're going to command higher multiples than Walmart. Walmart's biggest problem, it has a growth problem. Lack thereof. It's been growing by 3% per year. 3% per year. If stocks follow earnings and earnings are growing by 3% per year, use a little bit of logic. The stock should go up by about 3% per year, unless there's extreme multiple expansion, and I don't see any reason. Now, Walmart's tried to get extreme multiple expansion by taking on Amazon and creating their own online presence, but Amazon runs circles around Walmart. It has not really speeded up Walmart's growth. Walmart was so big to begin with, it's pretty hard to move a battleship, right? Okay, having said that, Walmart over the next 5 years is expected to grow by about 7% per year. That's probably generous. If we take Walmart's earnings expectations for next year, $6.15, extrapolate them out at 7% per year over the next 5 years, and then apply a reasonable multiple that a Walmart should trade at. There are plenty of comparables out there to Walmart to look at. Obviously, Costco, Target, Kohl's, there's a lot of them. Kroger, you can look at all of them and see where they trade at. I come up with a $200 target price on Walmart 5 years from now, $200. That gives it 43% upside potential, 43% upside potential 5 years from now. I require 80% or more upside potential. Walmart falls way short of meeting my valuation criteria. As far as performance goes, Well, Walmart has been just a little bit better than a market performer over the years. And when my app crunches the numbers, evaluation and performance, Walmart comes in at number 2,864 out of 5,634. So you can see why it hasn't made it into any one of my portfolios that hold about 20 to 25 stocks. The name of the show is Best Stocks Now, not Mediocre Stocks Now, which I consider Walmart to be. Oh, yeah, it's a giant in the industry. It's the biggest retailer in the world, but it's growing from anywhere from 3 to 7% per year. Okay, by contrast, one of our largest holdings, we wrote it up recently in the on Seeking Alpha. You can look it up. This is a stock of today. They have cloud-based platforms that enable developers to build, scale, and operate real-time communications, big in the 5G world. Twilio, T-W-L-O. Their sales have been growing by about 50, well, their quarter that they just reported yesterday, last night, their sales were up 65%. Now, you're going to command a much higher multiple on your book value. You're going to command a much higher multiple on your sales, on your cash flow, on your earnings, etc., because it's growing so fast. Obviously, a 65% grower is going to command a much higher multiple than a 7% grower. Well, you're also buying future earnings. Let's not forget that. You're buying earnings projected down the road, sales projected down the road, and you take that trajectory of growth and you extrapolate that out over the next several years and you put multiples on those various valuation measures like price to cash flow, price to sales, price to book value, price to earnings. We have a very generous target price on Twilio. We own Twilio. The market's down 300 points right now. Twilio is up 7.7%. It's up 32% after they came in with a knockout of the park EPS sales report that they reported after the close last night. Where is Twilio ranked in the Best Stocks Now app? Twilio also has been a fantastic performer. It's up 221% over the last 12 months, while the market's up 16. Twilio is currently ranked at number 185 out of 5,634. Walmart is ranked at what? 2,665. So there you go. Everybody has their way of managing markets, of picking stocks. But buying stocks just because they're going up, and it's the hot stock of the day and the story, you don't want to buy. You're not buying a story. You're buying earnings. You're buying cash flow. You're buying sales. You're buying book value. Just the basics of valuation, which are so, so important. The Best Stocks Now app does valuations on the vast majority of publicly traded companies out there. I oversee it all every single day. To me, that is the best indicator. What's been the best indicator for the market over the last 12 years? S&P 500 earnings. And they will continue to either lead the market upwards or downwards, depending on which direction they head next. All right, if you'd like to get in touch with us at Gunderson Capital, you might say, this all sounds like hooey-fooey to me. Well, you can check out the portfolios that we run in our newsletter. We publish them every week. There's no smoke and mirrors here. You can check tip ranks to see where we're ranked overall. You can look at the articles we've written in Seeking Alpha, see how those stocks have done since we've written them, with no guarantees going forward other than we will pay close attention to valuations. if you'd like to talk to one of my advisors, 855-611-BEST.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.